Welcome to the doghouse. Jorge Lorenzo is going to fix Pecco Bagnaia's mental problems by sending him to his shrink. Rats Gettiaglu wants to ride a World Superbike in MotoGP. And Mark Marquez really wants to go back to Honda. All that on this show. Nate.
Oh, hit the wrong button. You didn't even talk about the important news.
I was saving Ducati, something for you guys.
Ducati came out and said Phil was right.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Did you not miss the meeting? The news clips about Ducati saying they think they overdeveloped they gave Marc Marquez too much input on the last bike, and that made it bad for other riders. It was literally a press release last Wednesday. And then also,
well, can you share that with us? Because then can you go over it?
I can bring it up.
I believe they gave Marc Marquez too much influence on the bike. Why wouldn't they?
Right? Yeah, he's a champion.
Yeah, but
multiple times
made it unrideable for others.
Yeah.
So
they won the world championship
and the Constructors Cup.
Yeah.
And then also, Coda's going private.
I didn't hear that.
Well, not 100% private, but private her. All right. Hold on. Let me get
Does that mean this. They have like a new major stockholder? Is that the thing?
Yeah, it's called people with billions of dollars.
Well, that's okay.
They're going to make a club called, hold on, let me get it out. The Circuit. Sounds really good.
And yeah, it's something no one would have thought of.
Club, right? And they're going to have access to the track a minimum of 250 days a year.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's most of the rideable time.
Yeah. Right?
Wow. So I've got to hear this. And this is for just for a limited number of individuals. It's going to be like a big club anybody can join.
Oh, I don't know, but it's going to cost millions, I think.
Oh, well, we all have that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just cut him a check, right?
Exactly. I was going to say,
You want
what
cash,
weeks do you
card,
want?
But, the details I saw, in all fairness, were like people bitching on blogs and stuff about it. Mm-hmm. More than it was fact. I mean, it is definitely happening though, because performanceracing.com has articles on it. A bunch of places do. But they're going to offer their members year-round access to track as well as curated driving experiences, dining and hospitality. They have the amusement park there. They're going to skip the line pass. They have the music theater there. But It's going to be an ultra exclusive private membership club is everything I'm seeing with a big hefty price tag. So I think they're keeping the major series, Formula One, maybe MotoGP, probably American Le Mans, probably IndyCar.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you're going to see things. I'm not sure you're going to see things like SCCA. They're pretty much saying no track days for non-members.
So you would have to be a member, but your organization...
Unless you're outside the 250 window.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But the other thing, maybe this is a way for them to say, okay, you're in an organization. Let's say you're in WIRA. WIRA collects membership fees from all its members, right? And then maybe that they may, because that's a national organization, they may be able to say, okay, we're going to join. You don't think you could get $1 million would get you in?
I don't think they're interested in having a club join as a member.
Well, they kind of make it sound like that's what it is. They're
no,
building
that's not what it sounds like at all.
It sounds like it's one of these ultra exclusive, ultra
it
rich
like
people
a country
things.
Club Who,
what would they use it for? But what would they use it for?
It's just like the fly-in air, private fly-in airport communities. It's probably
there,
something like that.
Wait a second. There's the one in Monticello, New York, right?
Okay.
That's self-sustaining and it's a private club. What, they have two public events there a year?
I know nothing about exactly. It. I did not know such things existed.
Yes, you did. We've talked about it on the Doghouse.
I don't
maybe
remember.
10, 15 years ago.
I don't remember. But was anything like the size of Coda?
No, it wasn't okay. The size of Coda. But it's also like 150 grand a year to be a member. Not, I've seen people think say that they heard prices were getting quoted $1.5 million a year.
Well, jeez. I mean, okay.
And there's going to be like no motorcycle excitement, nothing along that lines. No,
no. I'm sure there won't be anything like that. And maybe that's what the main intent is, right? To push away these things that are more troublesome than they're worth.
Yeah, but
not profitable.
Okay. If you're commanding that kind of money, right? And you're commanding that kind of exclusivity, I'm not sure Moto America is going to have the jing to do it.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Right.
I wouldn't think so unless it's outside that 250 window, and who knows? And they're renting that track anyways.
Even still, outside that 250 window, okay, I think the Ferrari Club of the U.S. has a lot more money than Moto America.
Well, you're probably not wrong.
And they're going to be like, we want it for a weekend. I think, you know what I mean? Like, I think what's going to happen is, you know, you're going to get it so that people are like, hey.
So when is this supposed to start, Phil?
2027.
Wow. So I guess, you know, we'll see. A lot could change between now and that time. So let's see. I just like to know all the facts, you know, because now we don't even have.
Yeah, the facts are kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Right? They're not.
I mean, we hear all these big, big, big numbers. And maybe that's what they'll
end up. I have seen nothing from the track of the cost. They just said ultra exclusive. And you're in oil country. So that says to me.
That means ultra exclusive.
Right? Like, I know ultra exclusive country clubs are millions in a year to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue that point, but let's just see what it comes out to be. I Ken's going to predict. Put it, get out the book of no accountability.
Crap. We're getting out the book of no accountability early in the show.
Yeah. I'm going to say that when this actually starts in place, that the membership is going to be more like 150K, not $1.5 million.
Oh, Ken.
Just to be a member of the club, it doesn't mean you get exclusive use of the track. It just means that's
the only membership. That's it.
I get that. I get what you're saying, but that doesn't mean you over all the other members get to take the track. I'm sure there's going to be rules that have to come out about that.
It's going to be like member.
You can reserve it. Yeah, you can reserve.
Right.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Membership for Coda at 150K, right?
Yeah, for an individual.
All right, Warren, you got a guess?
Being where it is, I would say 200K for membership, and you have to have proof that you have a car or a motorcycle or whatever it is you want to run on the track.
So here's what I'm going to say. I can afford 200K for membership.
Right? Every year? Would you pay? Would you want to pay 200K
a year? I'm not going to.
Yeah. Right? Okay, that's a lot of overtime, Phil.
My job allows that, right? Yeah. But here's what I'm going to say is, that's 200K of membership isn't ultra exclusive. And the words from Coda are ultra exclusive.
Well, you can call it whatever you want. Let's just see what the numbers come out. Let's see. I could say that being a host on the Doghouse is ultra exclusive, and I would not be wrong.
I'm going to say, Phil, he put in the book of no accountability right there, 1.5 mil.
Okay. That's good. Keep it in there, and since it's in the book of no accountability,
we'll never look at it again.
We will never look at it again.
We will never even open that page. I don't even know what the rest of the stuff on that page is.
Someday, when we have enough people that are actually paying us, we will then have a book of accountability.
No.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not going to be accountable for free. I'm sorry. Okay. So anything else, Phil, in that vein before I go on to some of the details?
All right. Yeah, because I got to go back because searching for that stuff made me close out the article about Ducati and Mark Marquez.
Only we had some computer skills in this organization.
Yeah, no, I just was.
Just like math skills. It's not really something that we deem important.
Just like general thinking skills.
Here we go. MotoGPnews.com.
Yeah, I got some stuff off there.
.com, reputable source, right?
Mostly.
Mostly.
Yeah.
It recently merged That Ducati would. Oh no, hold on. Let me go to the thing.
Yeah, well planned.
Oscar Haro details how Ducati now realized that they gave Marc Marquez too much influence over the GP25 fight.
In who is this
recent
guy?
Interview,
yeah,
Oscar Haro. I don't know who he is. A journalist, Nico Abad, with journalist Nico Abad, Haro recalled working with Marquez, so he's kind of somebody on the team. During a successful stint at Honda in the start of his career, the Spanner note that development input actually harmed the performance for other riders, with the Japanese constructors saying.
So he's talking about when Marquez was at Honda.
Yeah, but he said, and here's his quote, I believe Ducati has realized that Marc Marquez's approach to developing a bike isn't the right one. It's what happened with Honda. He's a rider who's far above the rest, and especially above the minor shortcomings that the bike might have.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's I think that's valid.
Marquez
I think that's
can
valid.
Push the bike so far.
Yes, I think that's a valid. I think that's
so
a valid comment. We
his input.
we could have said that. We could have
said
that.
Say, I did say that.
Not I'm saying that. I'm saying that it's not true that no one else can, because Danny Pedrosa, remember, ultimate second place guy, was successful on the Marquez developed Honda.
Just had a little less skill.
Just a little less skill,
less
exactly.
Second places, I think, with Marquez than he did.
No, actually not. Not true. Not true. Yeah, he was Mr. Perpetual second place.
Well,
you know, did he have as many as he had with Casey Stoner? I
That's
can't
what
tell
I
you.
Just said, and you were like, no, absolutely he did.
No, I said, did he have as many as he had with Kate? No, he was younger then. I mean, Pedrosa was significantly older than Marquez when he came, and he was significantly older than Casey Stoner. So I'm just saying, but he was a lot younger rider at the time he raced with.
Right.
And I don't see this as a problem anyway, because if you want to win a championship.
Win the championship. That's all you got to do.
And
it doesn't matter if one rider sucks and the other one wins the championship. You still won the championship.
And Bagnaia didn't win the championship when Marquez was there, right? Jorge beat him 2 years ago. When Marquez finished third, not Jorge.
Marquez wasn't on a factory bike, though.
It doesn't matter. See, I'm just saying, he can't. Bagnaia wasn't going to win anyway.
I'm lost.
So give Marquez what he wants. Marquez is going to win the championship. He's
okay.
Probably going to win it next year.
If he built the bike for Bagnaia, maybe he would have won the championship.
I think, Phil, you could always say that you get a special rider. If that rider controls the development of the bike, it's going to be a bike that probably somebody with lesser skills is not going to thrive on. I think that's always true.
Look how much Rad Scatiaglu is struggling on the Yamaha, whatever that is, the Yamaha.
Yeah, it's on the Yamaha. Yeah, but they're going to make it a World Superbike bike anyway, so it's not going to matter.
But I'm just saying, like, hey, somebody else developed it. It's a different skill set. He breaks really late. Well, now the bike's not developed to do that. Now we have to change it.
If Marquez
pushes that line really far, other guys.
No, I get that. I get that. That's that higher skill level. But what I'm saying is, if you're given the choice and you want to make the bike that gives the person that you think has got the strongest chance of winning a championship the greatest chance, that would have been Marquez. So, yeah, you would give Marquez more input.
Okay. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, but at the other aspect is if he's controlling the development for both teams, which it looks like he was even at Honda, there's no chance that you're making it harder on your second rider. You're dumping $2 million.
I think that's a valid argument. I think that's a valid argument. I think that's a valid argument that will never change anything. But I think you're right.
Honda was changing it. I think Yamaha has changed it.
Honda tried to change it, and they almost killed Marquez and some of the other riders.
right.
Because they weren't listening to the riders.
No.
Yes.
They were listening to the riders.
No, because they were listening to
the riders.
F1.
Okay, you think the riders, I want to die this year. Please make me a bike that will
it
kill
was,
me.
No, a Honda
no,
was worse.
No, I think the riders say things like, oh, it's really loose. And a rider thinks he can always hold on to it. Well, it's crashing because of this. And they're giving input. But it's not always the rider. The rider's input sometimes is important.
Most of the time.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's important.
No, Phil, most of the time.
Sometimes.
Really? The guy that's
analyzing the data is more important.
Well, the you know, again,
that is based on the, who's riding it and how they're
it's going to be based on the performance.
Exactly. The data is based on who's riding it.
Right. And, and you don't think you're, and you don't think that they're going to always give the rider that they think is most likely going to give them the best chance at finishing as far up in the champion as possible. Is going to always have more input. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just the way it's going to be.
But what,
even if they're riding a superbike,
doing, you guys are just not listening at all.
No, we are listening completely. No, you're not. Just don't agree.
I don't think we're not on board the filtering.
They take his data and go and his opinion and throw it on and force it on the other guy. And that's stupidity.
Well, forget about the data and all those things like that.
No, you can't. You can't.
Phil, take a breath, please. Okay. You can't build five bikes. It's not possible. You can tune for the different riders somewhat, but the design of the bike is going to be the design of the bike. Okay.
Why can't you build five bikes?
There's logistics associated with that.
Right now,
it takes design engineers. It takes design engineers. And some of these teams don't have the budgets that HRC's got.
Yeah,
HRC's tried that.
Rossi's team is a privateer and builds two.
No, they rent
theirs. They did last year.
They rent theirs. They don't build them. No, they didn't. They rent theirs.
And 24 and two, and
yeah,
24.
Both that were rented from Ducati.
You know, they just give them a bike and they never touch it. Whatever.
No, I didn't say that. They tweak. They tweak. That's all they can do. They don't design it.
There's only so much they can do because of the rules. They can't. Yes. They can't do a lot of things they can't do.
Yeah. I mean, there's some electronic tweaks that they can make, and that's about it. They pretty much, the riders got to adapt to those bikes because there's not much they can do. They might be able to change the suspension compression rates and things like that. You know, they might be able to tweak some, you know, engine components before the season starts because then they get all locked up.
And even if this is 100% true, it's not going to change anything because they're going to make whatever bike comfortable for Marquez or whoever the champion is over the other riders.
Yeah. And I think that's just one of the problems, I think, and it's a problem, but it's the nature of people, right? Is that a lot of riders expect them to make the bike comfortable for them. Other riders think they need to adapt to the bike, learn that bike, right? Learn how to be as fast on that bike as they were on the prior version of the bike. But some riders, and I think Bagnaia is one of those, they want the bike brought to them, right? And maybe that's what he got used to when he was the top one and they designed the bike based on what he wanted. And it's not that way anymore and he doesn't like it. But, you know, they're not going to build five versions of a bike. It's just not going to happen.
This is coming from other sources, but whatever. All right, what did you have to talk about?
Yeah, I'm curious about this superbike thing you're talking about.
I'm just going to ignore any point you make and just go off on a random topic. Go ahead. Because that's what you guys do to me.
That's good. No, we listen to everything you said.
No, you don't listen.
We don't agree.
Yeah.
Just because we don't agree doesn't mean we don't listen.
Put words into my mouth all the time. I might as well marry you.
We put words in?
Go ahead.
No, Phil, I are.
Moving right along.
I turned down the last three offers you made.
Moving right along.
Okay, ladies.
Okay, so coming out of the test, Rats Gadioglu said he wasn't happy with two things. One, he wasn't happy with the riding position. Seems like a relatively easy thing to address. And the other thing was he didn't like the engine braking, which is much more to his liking on the superbike, the World Superbike. But the reason is that, you know, his style, right? His style is to dive bomb into the corners, right? He doesn't want very much engine braking, right? He wants it on his front tire. What?
Who's the other rider on Yamaha? Who's number one there?
Oh, God.
Quartararo?
Yes.
Too bad, Rats Gadioglu.
Well, yeah, he's not. Quartararo. Yeah, Quartararo is the factory team guy.
Quartararo's the number one guy. He's a former champ.
Yeah, but that's
Rats Gadioglu.
But some of that is just the nature of MotoGP engines, okay? And that's what he had dinner with Marquez, and who was the guy that won Moto2 that I can't think of? Diego, what's his name? That won the world, that won Moto2.
Marrera.
Marrera, thank you. Diego Marrera. Okay. Let me get this out before we run out of time. They all went to dinner at the awards banquet this past week in wherever it was. But anyway, FIM's banquet, different from the original one. That they do at the end of the season. But anyway, those three all went to, they went out to dinner together, and they talked about things, and they told the press what they talked about. And this was some of the things that he is unhappy about: the engine breaking. And Marquez's response to Rascatiaglu is that you're not going to be able to do anything about that. You just need to adjust to it. And no, if you close your throttle out completely, you're going to get significant weight transfer. Right. And you're going to have to prepare for that. He said the alternative is you go in with a hot throttle in and hope your front wheel, you know, your front brake can take the pressure you can put on it, find the balance. You're going to have to find it and adjust. What's the difference between overcooking it and wrecking and getting that fast speed into the corners for passes, which Rascatiaglu lives by, right?
Which is one of the reasons we've said multiple times, all three of us, that Toprak's going to have a hard time.
He is going to have a hard. There's no question he's going to have a hard time. He also, the other two is he doesn't like the ceramic brakes. You know, they have brakes are completely ceramic. So it's like, yeah, well, these are all adjustments you're going to have to make, right? Anybody who's come out of what?
Marquez gave him bad advice.
What was Marquez's bad advice?
To make the adjustment and all that stuff. The good advice would have been, go buy dinner for Quartararo and convince him those are the changes the bike needs to be.
Marquez's point was
go change to what he wants.
No, they can't because it's the nature of the MotoGP. It's the nature of the MotoGP engines. Okay, the engine braking is what he was complaining about. The fact that he doesn't like the ceramic discs, too bad. That's what they run in MotoGP. You're not going to change the rules in MotoGP. Stainless steel brakes can't handle the heat.
Toprak's only got to last 1 year. And then he'll be riding a completely different bike.
Maybe if he ends up getting a factory ride with Yamaha, which is the only place he's going to be able to go, right? If he does that, we don't know. I mean, it will be a completely different bike because the bikes are going to all be different in 2027, but might not be different in certain ways. And those are one of the things that's not going to be different. And the other thing that he asked for was he didn't like the handlebar position. Well, there's a reason why the handlebars are where they are. He wanted higher handlebars. There's a reason the clip-ons are where they are. There's a reason why the clip-ons are where they are, and they do make small modifications based on the height of a rider. The reason they do is because the windscreen on a MotoGP bike is shorter and tinted and tilted back a little bit more to make it more aerodynamic. So you think about this, right? If you want to tuck behind the windscreen... If you're a tall rider, the last thing you need is higher handlebars, you know? So anyway, but they're going to do that. They're going to try some things out for him, try and make him happy on all that.
Like
so that was
6 foot tall. He's a giant.
Yeah, he's tall. Yeah, he's tall, I believe there's been other riders that are taller than him that have raced in MotoGP, but be that as it may, that was the Rascatiaglu news. Yeah, Jorge Lorenzo said that basically it's a mental problem that Pecknight is having, and he needs to go to a rider psychologist, which I didn't even know such a thing existed.
That so he's hooking up like the best advice he's gotten so far.
He probably should have had that last year before he made the decision.
Yeah, and
like because somebody needed to tell him, bud, you're never winning a race again if you go to Yamaha MotoGP team.
No, never. that was
somebody should have told him you're 29 years old, and by the time you're 32, no one's going to know who you are. Your new nickname is you're going to go from whatever your nickname.
This was not
is
about
right
that,
now
that
to
that
backmarker.
That was Lorenzo for Bagnaia.
Yeah.
Okay, but, not Rascatiaglu. Just so you understand. Okay.
I was going to say, but they should just be like, you're going to be backmarker.
Yeah. Whatever. I just think any advice you get from Lorenzo, it should be, it's like, you know, what was it on Seinfeld where you do exactly the opposite?
Lorenzo recommended because that's probably where he was.
Yeah. And he went
Mark
off.
Marquez is my daddy. He Pedro Martinez the entire season 1 year. Mark Marquez is my daddy. I can't do nothing.
Did I miss anything that I previewed or did we kind of cover it?
I think you covered it.
I think I covered it. Okay. So that's it. So there you go. That's my contribution for the week. I'm going to sleep now.
32 days until the Supercross season begins.
Are we supposed to be excited?
Are
I
we going to be
actually
able to
am.
watch it?
Not an answer I
Yeah,
have,
no, right? Just
but
say
I'm
no.
excited whether I'm able to watch it or not.
What's the point if I can't watch it?
I
Yeah,
other
good.
any you know me, I'll watch it all the time, but I refuse to watch the Last Chance qualifiers. Just won't do it. Won't do it.
How are you going to watch it?
What do you mean? How am I going to watch it on YouTube? The
They
next
cracked
day, I'm
down towards
perfectly
the end of the
fine with that.
season
I can
last
get,
year.
I got all the races this past without a problem the next day.
They cracked down a lot on that this year,
Well, if they
last
do,
year.
then I might not see it. But if they
That's what I'm
don't,
saying.
well, maybe somebody will do it. You know, people on YouTube who
Yeah, I know,
record
I
their
know.
television screens.
God bless the YouTubers.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see it. It may not look real good, but we'll see it.
Yeah, it's probably not gonna look good anyway.
But I
I
don't
don't
see
know if
anybody
we'll see
doing.
it or not. There were
Yeah.
times last year where it didn't come out until
Oh,
two,
you know, there
3
was a
days
piece
later.
of news, and I don't have all the facts behind it, but it's actually been verified that Moto America is going to give Mini Cup points to riders in flat track, you know, that are on the miniature bikes in flat track.
Well, that's probably
And
has something to do with what's his name? Corey Dexter's influence.
exactly. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's Corey
They have to
Texter.
do
I don't have a
something.
problem with this. That sounds to me like a decent idea.
I don't have a problem with it, but it's just kind of caught me off guard. I don't think it's a bad
I
idea. I
said
just kind of
this.
caught
I
me.
said this years ago,
Yeah.
right? Nobody listened, but I don't know why Moto America isn't actively trying to buy Flat Track. It would add content to their streaming
I don't
service,
disagree
another
with that.
yeah,
I
we
don't. I
agree,
don't.
we all agree with that,
Yeah,
right?
I don't
Like, I
disagree with
mean,
that at all.
I just
The
don't
problem is
understand.
I don't know their. I don't know that their pockets are that deep. I don't know what their expense sheet
How
looks
much
like, and I
can
bet you it's not pretty.
oh, no.
How much can
Flat Track has
DMG
got to
want
be
for a series
zero.
that nobody
No, I don't
watches?
believe that. I don't believe that. People always think that their series are worth them more than they really are. You
Oh,
know,
I'm
so
sure they do, but it's
yeah.
like how I would just go there and be like, realistically, you have 8 viewers.
Well, you know, you wait for them to go bankrupt, and then you pick them up for pennies, right? And
A la AMA Pro Road Racing.
exactly, a la AMA Pro Road Racing,
But
exactly.
I think the only I'll be honest with you. I think the only thing keeping Flat Track alive right now is the fair contracts. You know, where they're at all these different
Yeah,
fairs and this
I
and
agree with
that.
that.
And
Yeah, I agree with that.
it's one of the few sports in the world right now that's living on live attendance.
I also think that probably there that flat tracks got they went through many years when no one could even spell flat track. So I think that their cost to run that series is probably extremely low compared to anything else you could look at. I mean, I'm sure Moto America is 1,000 times more
Oh, I'm
per
sure
event,
of it.
you know. So that may be how they get by. Who knows?
Yeah, well, they get by
But I don't
because
know if
I'm sure
Moto,
it's much
I just don't
cheaper.
know that Moto, I don't know that Moto America, I don't, well, first of all, Moto America, I don't know how well they're doing financially, and they don't let anything out at all about it. They're very, very tight. They're very tight about that. I respect that. I don't know how they're doing financially, and the way they hop around between networks and then some of the decisions they make, I don't know. Is the
Well,
streaming package working out for them? Because I can't
well, based
imagine
on the
and
numbers
make
we
it, I
have
can't
seen on
imagine they're
those,
making
yes.
money anywhere else,
Right?
There's the music. That means we've come to the end of another show.
I think if you were looking at it, I think Flat Track, right? I think Flat Track cost is just way lower. They're not renting the tracks, right? They're being
Right.
invited to come race.
Right.
They probably get a small thing, but the promoter of it pays the payout,
Yeah. Yep.
right? So all they're doing is selling some sponsorship and showing up with a couple trailers and some tech guys,
Yeah.
right? It's not like, man, you need to rent VIR for $26,000 for the
Way
weekend.
cheaper than a COTA membership.
Yeah, bro. Oh, definitely.
You could probably run a whole
You could probably
season for
buy and sell Flat Track 30 times for a quota. That's
Maybe
even
we
at your
should.
prices.
Yeah, since you already told me you could afford 200,000, Phil, get on it, will you?
It's not going to be that cheaper. I'd buy it for us.
You should.
Anyways, I mean, if it's that cheap, I'll buy us a
You
hotel.
should. Make some inquiries, Phil.
I don't even know if they'll take my email. They'll be like, that guy looks through. I've been sending the old PWs.
There you go. Yep.
Well, we'll be back next year, next week.